Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Felipe. Can you hear?
Hello, Eti. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How do you do today?
I'm fine, Eti. I'm happy to be here. I was longing for meeting you and friends. Hello, Fernando. It's been some weeks now. I didn't hear your voice. Happy to be here, Eti. And I was actually thinking about this changing of laws. I'm not too aware of it, Eti. And I was kind of curious about it because there's a lot of thing, a lot going on here in this political realm, but I was not aware about the changing of any laws, and I will try to catch up with it.
To catch up, maybe Fernando can speak about it. Fernando, can you speak about the changing of the law in Brazil? Is it possible for you to speak? From which side the... Or how does it happen that it came to be, and what are the reflection of the law on civil life? If not, also good. Today I would like to speak. Yes, Felipe?
No, Eti, just I just wanted to share a poem, some lines you wrote some years ago, and often it I remember it. I don't know if I will. I tried to copy the text. I will paste here. When the absence becomes a presence, and our being in life is the essence. Then the mind is not there requested, the appearance is just manifested. And many days I think about these beautiful words, and just wanted to share because some happenings in life, this absence, it's just what it is, you know. This poem is—it's beautiful because it says so much in so few words. Sometimes we are in absence, and the presence of the being is there, you know. And it is just beautiful because I'm living a situation when this absence can be more helpful than the presence, you know what I mean? And just wanted to share it, and of course if you like to speak something about it, it would be nice. Thank you, Eti.
Thanks. Thank you very much. And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Happy to be here with you. And just a giving example, there is a shop here, a shop, and there's, let's say, there is a grandpa that he operates puppets, but for many, many years, and he also creates them. He creates so many animals, and then people, and kindergarten teachers, and parents, and grandparents, they buy them. puppets to their children, grandchildren, and so on, to the classes, and he teaches the adults how to move the puppets, not just mechanical questions, but like mechanical movement, rambling movement, but if it's a rabbit, how the rabbit uses its nose to sniff, that it will feel for the viewer, for the watchers who are watching the puppets, that it will feel real to us. So he speaks to the parents and he speaks to the teachers and people involved and explains how it works. First of all, the puppet is not in the air, so there is one hand that is wearing, so to speak, the glove, which is the puppet, and it is on land, so on the ground, it's grounded, so he put one arm on the other as a ground, and it will feel real, the movement of the animal, of the rabbit on the ground, and so on. Why do we speak about puppets? The puppet on it, for itself, does not have ability to move, to sniff, to make sounds. It is like a dressing which is left on the shelf in the shop, in this beautiful warehouse that he keeps next to the Carmel Mountain. So you can go and you can pick any kind of animal or any kind of figurine that you like. But it's only a dressing, so it has a hair, certain eyes, certain style. If it's an animal, some kind of an animal, let's say a rabbit, it has the fur of a rabbit and it has the teeth. If it's a turtle, it looks like a turtle. But those puppets cannot animate themselves. They're just on the shelf or in the box from the factory, in order that they could move and maybe make sounds or speak, so to speak. There is a need of someone to operate them, to put his hand inside and to move it in a way that we shall believe this is a rabbit that sniffs the ground for food or for water and so. For those puppets, there are really nothing to do with living forms. They're just there on the shelf, folded in colors, in shape, without emotion, without a breath, without anything. Only when the person who, humans who put his hand inside and start moving it slowly and animate those puppets, it feels real and the puppet feel alive. And when children go and see this show, whether it's in the kindergarten or in theater, we believe that it's like, it is there, speaking, moving, sniffing, getting nervous, being happy and so, being sad or so. But for the puppet itself, has no ability to move. In the same manner, our bodies, or what we are associate with our bodies, personalities or so, the human body or any kind of manifestation cannot stand or appear on its own. The human, not even an animal. If the life force or the life source will not animate, blow life in it, the cat could not breathe here on the chair and people could not speak and talk. It will be like the puppet, like from the factory, just some kind of a garment. So those garments which we are think that those are our bodies, and to the body there's a name associated with it. We believe this is our personal story. Yes, we believe that we are the name. The name is associated with the body, with the story, with few facts. But this is not who we are. We learn to identify, let's say, let's move now to the example of the puppets. Let's say there's a rabbit Yes, and the man who operates the rabbit is operating the rabbit to sniff, where's water, where can I get food, I'm nervous or so. But the rabbit, the puppet rabbit, cannot move. For us to see the man operating the puppet, it's clear that without the hand of the operating, the animated hand, the rabbit cannot move. For us, it's clear. In the same manner, we are incapable. It is impossible for us to see this invisible hand, so to speak, that animates us. Without this animation, we could not be here today. But since the brain is an external operating system, the brain learns from very young age to associate the name with the body, and this is appearance, and this is my life. Like we have separated lives, like we are capable of doing, operating everything on our own. This is what the brain does. The brain does and says, my name is Paul, my name is Margaret, my name is John or so. And John is associated with certain figurine that lives in certain address, and Marie somewhere also. But it's in a way very, very fictional. It is not, I would say, and people would argue, this is not real. What we consider as real, as my name, my address, I go every day to the office, this is the story of my life, this is my profession as a teacher, as a drummer, as a director, as an inspector. All this story that the brain shuffles every moment inside. And each one has his own story about himself, herself, my name is such, I live here, and I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, and so on. This is all is very invented story, and it's not real. And since the brain is just a machine, it just repeats on the story all the time, and most of our attention is going to this story. And it's like we move blood into this story, and suddenly the story about myself is very important. And the more we move attention to the activity, to the story, personal story of, so to speak, my separated life, the more we move the attention, the more miserable misery we are becoming, because it's not real. There's a beautiful verse from the Bible which is describing this activity. When we're giving too much attention to the story which is narrated by the brain. The verse says, Nachal Lichra Ve'Yevash, the river is destroyed and dried. Yes, this is it, Nahar or Nachal, river or a brook which is destroyed, or this is a dead river, basically. This is a dead end. If we move all our attention, or we really gives it a lot of, we believe, to the story which is narrated completely by the brain, what happens is like to face like a dead end, a dead road, and it's not real. So as the puppeteer, or not the pup, this puppet on the shelf is not real without the animation. Also, those, so to speak, stories of our lives are not real until if it is being animated. We are, all of us, are animated by higher source. And once there is an animation, there is life going on. How life will go on, into what way, through which road, what will be the happening of the day, of the moment, nobody knows. It just happens. We are not the doers. life is streaming through us. We are like fluid. And when the wind comes and blow, whatever happens, happens. Nobody asked us, and there's a script which is going on here every moment. We're not aware of this because we are all the time giving a lot of importance to all kinds of thoughts which are appearing, that we did not generate them, but we give a lot of importance to those thoughts, like if we are the generators of them or like they mean anything. Yes, it's just a flow that moves, but we are not moving it, we are not causing it. We are basically nothing. What we tend to believe, that this is a name, this is an address, this is my life, this is all a manufactured story. And it's like a product of the shelf. Like a product comes from the factory, appears at some point. There is a, expiring date on it. It will stay on the shelf for a while, the stage here, for a few decades, and then it's... But this is not who we are. This is not who we are. The story that we were told, that in a certain day a body appeared to certain people with a name, with a story, it's not... We are so incapable to see it because there's like a habit that the brain is going like a motor 24/7. This is who you are, this is your story here, you're living, and so just repeating itself. The more it repeats, the more we listen to it and pay attention to this, the more we're drying out, like this river that turns out from the main source. This is basically the tree of knowledge, using the biblical term or language, the tree of knowledge just turns to its own turning and just is drying there at the side. Yes? The brain is always telling us stories from the side. Yes? Like to pinch, yes? To pinch a detail and build on it a complete story. And this is the offering, this is the story, so to speak, of my life, whether I'm successful man or miserable man. And it's basically not to pay attention to it. It's just like a current or like electricity, but not giving too much attention to it. Because most of the things which are happening, we're not even aware, to the breath that comes in and out, to the palpitation of the heart, to all kinds of happenings inside and in the world, and we're not aware of. So many things we're not aware of. But suddenly the story about myself is the center of our lives, and so of course it's not right. The tree in the forest does not have his own life for his own. The tree in the forest. There are other trees, there are mushrooms, there are roots under the ground, there's ants and insects, and there's air, and there's water, and there's rain, and there's a snow. The tree does not live life of its own. Of course. For us, it's clear because so things are happening. Once there's a tree in the forest, the birds, the butterfly, the mushrooms, the acorn. There's a bird which is like building a nest there. Suddenly there's rain or there's a snow. There's activity. Animals are moving in the forest. There's all the time happening. A tree is not an object. Also, we are not objects. There is a beautiful example by Filon, how he relates in one of his essays to the name Cain, and he comes up with a very interesting question. He says, how can it be that the first born of Adam and Eve was such a confused descendant and full of destruction that he killed his brother? How could it be? Very valid question. And he arrived to this conclusion. He says Cain is not really a flesh and blood creature. Cain comes from Kinyan. Kinyan is like asset or property. And from the how does he see Cain? When people usually read the Bible, they see Adam and Eve as man and wife, and Cain is the first baby. Filon says something very interesting. He says, and this is completely also a new way, he says Adam is the brain, and Eve is the senses. When Adam, when the brain is mating with the senses, Eve, comes a new perception to the world. The meeting between the brain and the senses delivers a new perception to the world. The sense of now I know, because he reads the verse Ve'ha'adam yada et chava ishto, and the man knew his wife Eve. So now, when to the brain, yes, comes this information from the senses called Eve, the sense of hearing, the sense of feeling, all those senses are coming to the brain. The brain now has a sense of I know. I know the taste, I know the smell, I know the touch, and so on. And this sense inside of us that I know, how does it feel? I know how it is being heard. I know the sense of I know, I reckon. This is Cain inside of each and every one of us. It's like you hear a song in the radio and you said, I know this song. Yes? And people would be happy. Ah, I know, I recognize this song in the radio. Talk. Filon would have said, yes, at this moment, this recognition, this kind, this is kind. Because, he says, the sense of I know is confusion. We tend to believe to everything that we know is a fact and absolute. This is how we see things. I know something, it's absolute. Filon says, whenever there's a sense of I know, I reckon, it's not just, a vibrant information in the body or data. This is the source to all confusion in the world. Because it is not based on the absolute. It based on the information that comes from the senses. So again, when the Bible says, Ve'ha'adam yada et chava ishto, and man knew his wife Eve, is when the brain meets the information that comes from the senses. Vataha, and she conceived, vateled, and she delivered et Cain. Yes? So the meeting, or the mating, or the encounter between the brain and the senses delivers a confused offspring. The sense of I have bought, meaning I know. What is I have bought? I know. I know how does it feel. I know how does it smell. I know how does it sound. And it turns us to the owners of the feeling, of the sensation, and this creates a great confusion, because this sense of I know will eventually kill who? Abel. The mist inside. Because everything is being cut off, all the mystery. Yes, Abel is also the mystery, the unknown. Because everything is being cut off or being censored by the sense of I know. I know how does it work. I know how does it have to appear, in what shape, in what color, and so on. So we are killing, or not we, but the process inside is killing every new moment which is being born, because everything is being killed by this sensation of I know. It is like once we were in Berlin and people wanted to play music, and other people were arguing why. Why? Everything is already... This is how the brain comes with facts, yes? Why? Because all music is already out there, yes? Everything is out there, all form of music, all the best records, all the... Why now to... This is quite interesting. This is how Philon sees Cain, and he says something also very interesting about it. About Adam and Eve. The Bible says, "V'ha'adam yada et chava ishto," and man knew his wife Eve. But as regarding to Sarah and Rebecca and Zipporah, the Bible does not say that. And he arrives to the conclusion that those names are not really biological, historical women, but virtues. Virtue, we cannot know virtue. This is very, very interesting. We cannot know virtue. It's not of the becoming. And then Philon continues and says something even more radical to the human brain. He says, nothing is ours. Nothing is ours, not the life. Of course, not the experience, not the property. Nothing is ours. Even if it's registered somewhere in the governmental office that people are owner of this house. And so, and he brings a proof from the Bible, because in Leviticus, the Bible says in the law, yes, of Shemitah, yes, there's a beautiful verse that says, Ki li ha'aretz, the country, the will, everything is mine. So you cannot buy and sell. Whatever you do is not yours. What we are relating to us is we are the owner, yes, owners, renters, the owners of experience. This is my CV. I've been in few countries. This is my experience. Nobody can tell me what I've been through this path. He says nothing of this is ours. And the moment somebody passes away, where all this experience, where is it? Where is all this asset, the human experience? It's gone. When somebody passes away, there's body. Someone needs to take care of the body. But where are the moments, stories? I've been there, I was there. Where is it? It's like if you now go to a library somewhere where there's still, now there's everything is on YouTube or it's on the net, but if, you know, few, not very far in time, people used to go to the library to borrow books or to borrow cassettes, I mean, to watch movies at home. So you bring it and you put it and you see a movie, and then after one day or two or three or a year, the movie is just, you saw it. Nobody's now looking for those movies. Yes, if people are really wish to see the certain movies, but it's like in this library on the shelf, nobody's looking at it. There's a new generation, maybe few generations that came into the world. They have no interest, or they don't know that even this movie once was existed, if they did not hear about it or so. So what we give so much importance to my life, to my story, the moment the last breath is moving out, is disconnecting, nothing is staying. Nothing is staying. So why to walk with this sense of heaviness all the time around us, to feeling this feeling that I drag the story of my life, I drag the story of my family of this heaviness, because it's not true. And as Filon says, also very radical and beautiful sentence, he says something very beautiful. The good is free. Yes? The good is free. Very simple. But the sense of the story of my life, and I'm holding, how people speak, I'm holding this family together. Of course, it's a rubbish. Who holds the family? It's nonsense. Like somebody holds a tree in his hands, he makes the tree grows, give fruit. Of course, no one is capable of it. It's not true. It's just not true. So there is no, in a way, a need to carry a heavy story of any kind, because it's all invention. And the good is free. And when there's a sense of freedom, it also comes with happiness. It is the brain always likes to bring a symmetrical picture. This is what the brain does. This is his mastership. If there is a moment that you just go through you, so immediately comes the brain will bring symmetric picture, parallel picture. This is what the brain does all the time. So don't take it too seriously. This is a temporal machine. Yes, the brain is a temporal machine. It's not the absolute. And whatever comes through it, everything evolves around one figure, one story, one person. So, of course, it cannot be the absolute. Questions? Filon also says something very interesting with the fact of the I know, I bought, comes also pride. Pride, yes? I know how does apple smell like. I know how does this feel, with a lot of pride. And this is confusing men. And the fruit, which are coming from confusion, are bitter. And there is no need to be confused. We are not the owners, we are not the carriers, we are not the makers, we are not the doers. What happens, happens. And yes, in a moment of peace, the brain is really agitated, is really bothered. Yes, because he has to create, he always on the notion of creating a story, creating a narrative. So if someone sits somewhere for a couple of minutes, immediately the brain is attacking and says, you should be doing this, A, B, C, D, you should have done this, and so on, because this is the art, yes, of the brain, always to cause us to believe that we are the doers and create more doing. And if there's a moment of being, of peaceful, just wandering at the sea, looking at the tree, hearing bird, immediately comes the, so to speak, the sword. Yes, this is the sword that the Bible speaks about, that in a way protects the Garden of Eden. Philon says something very interesting about the Garden of Eden. Without the sense of I know, men could live infinitely in the Garden of Eden. There's no problem. But immediately comes the brain with this seal, signature, I know. And once this sense of I know appears, we are out of the garden. I mean, what is considered to be out of the garden? The brain will always tell us the narration about ourselves, that we are not doing enough, we could do better. It will offer us a library of cases why we have made mistakes or how we did wrong, and so on and so on and so on. And suddenly in the moment when there's like nothing is happening and there's like this being and just everything is just great. Yes, but the brain cannot just, is there to guard. Yes, it's very interesting. This is duality. This is a double sword. And whatever happens in this life to people, to characters, names, and so on, nothing leaves a mark or scratch. Nothing is detected, nothing is harmed. It's impossible to, it's just impossible to harm the infinite. It is just impossible. Questions or thoughts? Abigail, Fernando, Yanis, Felipe. Yes, there is a lot of shift in the world now. But infinite is infinite. Yes, yes. Moses is, yes. Is associated with Abel. Yes. Moses is associated or related to Abel. Yes, and Cain to Ito. Cain. In the story of, let's say, in the book of Exodus, Yitro, Jethro, the father of law in Moses, is basically Cain. This is what Luria says. Luria says something very interesting, that the first killing in the Bible was about woman. Abel was born with two sisters, and Cain was born with only one sister. And Cain was, how do you say, envied the fact that Abel was born with two, so he killed him. But later on, in the book of Exodus, Cain comes as Yitro, and he gives Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses for a wife. Luria says that in Genesis, Cain took Abel's life because he had extra sister. But in the book of Exodus, there's change, and Cain appears like Yitro, that has seven daughters, and one of them is being given to Moses, which is an aspect of Abel, and then it comes in a way even. So in the book of Exodus, there's a giving of perspective. So you can look at the word. There's a lot of movement here, because sometimes we find in the Lord that there are two sisters or two wives and so on. It's basically perspectives. Cain was born with one perspective, only the senses, this world, the doer, and so on. And Abel was born with two perspectives. And he was envy about the ability of Abel to perspectives. Therefore, he killed him. How does Luria learn that Yitro is an aspect of Cain? Because God speaks to Cain in the book of Genesis, and he says that the firstborn should have the extra Yeter. The firstborn is also called Yeter, more extra. This is also one of the largest or the longest sides in the triangle. When you have a triangle and one of the sides of the triangle is the longest, this is Yeter, this is the extra Yeter. So the firstborn is supposed to be more, Yeter, extra. And we can see how Yeter, with the Vav, turns to Yitro, the father of law of Moses. From those letters, Luria learns that Cain appears few generations after, through the character, through the name of Yitro. And in this case, he has seven daughters. Yes, you see how the pattern appears. Yitro has seven daughters, and Cain was promised to live seven generations. So you see how it goes. Zipporah and Sarah are qualities in Philon's writing. They are not biological, they are attributes. This is how he sees them. And whatever happens in the daily lives, it doesn't matter if it's a positive narration or gray narration. None of the narration which is coming is ours or by us. There is no need to judge it because we are not of it. Yes, just every day or every moment happens as it happens, regardless of what we do. Really, regardless of what we do. And not take it so hard or so heavy because it has nothing to do with our actions. We are incapable of doing any action. Like the puppet. The puppet on the shelf can move unless if someone puts his hand to it and animates it. So we could not do anything unless if we were animated. But the brain says, I am a teacher. Every day, ask here the teachers in school. Say, I'm a teacher. I go every day to school. I'm a lawyer. I'm a bank manager. What, you want to tell me that I'm not managing the bank? And so without the animation, nothing would have happened. But the brain says to the bus driver, I'm a bus driver. If I would not drive, but move. And so on and so on and so on. But it is not true. It's just not true. The story creates a lot of heaviness and extra suffering. The good is free. Once we are telling those stories to ourselves, or we tend to believe them, it becomes heavy load. And this is the bondage of self. The heaviness is the bondage, the attachment to character, to the story, to the narration. The good is free. Has no weight on it at all. It's quite simple. We can only live this moment. The past and the future are appearances. This moment is it. Questions or thoughts? Abigail, Fernando, Yanis, Felipe. Life is being lived through us. Life is being lived through us. So how can it how can such a thing happen? Because there's emptiness. Yes, if there's an empty pipe, water can come through the pipe because it's empty. In the same manner, us, it's basically great emptiness. So if it's empty, why to worry about anything? Why to be bothered? It's empty. And with this beautiful message, I would like to thank each and every one of you for your participation here today. Wishing you a lovely week. And hope to see you soon. Thank you so much. Litovt. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov. Thank you.